I would like to speak to you this morning and next Sunday morning, Lord willing, from the great book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, an incredible book. Isaiah had an incredible life and an incredible influence. He had an incredible vision of God. A literal vision early on in his life and calling. But all through the book of Isaiah, he gives us visions of the character of God. The more I read the book of Isaiah, the deeper it seems to me. Jesus read from the book of Isaiah. It was important to him. Jesus quoted Isaiah many times. And Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is very close, I believe, to the ministry and the identity of God and the Lord Jesus Christ both. Isaiah lived about 750 years before Jesus came. 750 years. Think back 750 years. What would that be? 1265 or so? What do you know about the world 725 years ago? What about transportation and communication and medicine and architecture and clothing? What were the planes like back then? 750 years before Jesus came, Isaiah wrote the things that we're going to read today. Yet his writings are so on point about Jesus and the nature of God that to me it's an incredible book. Isaiah somehow understood that God's plan was progressing toward a Messiah to come. And so a lot of his book, part of his book, is about looking forward to the plan of God that was going to be fulfilled over time. And so Isaiah gives us many glimpses and connections to the plan of God. Many connections about the prophecies about the Messiah that would come. Isaiah has been named by someone, I don't know where it came from, the fifth gospel. For it really gives us a great deal about the salvation of God and what's important to the heart of God about our salvation. And so Isaiah, the fifth gospel, precious, special. It's about God's salvation. Isaiah has a lot of themes, but one of them is God's salvation, and that one I want to speak about next Sunday. Actually, just to give you my outline, I plan to speak about two attributes of God today and three next Sunday, unless something changes. Isaiah's life was a long one. He lived and worked and ministered over a time period that spans four kings of Israel, of Judah. 50, 60, or even 70 years, not sure exactly when he started and when his ministry ended, but it was a long time. He was a long-term prophet. His work and life covered these kings, beginning with the king Uzziah, ending with the king Hezekiah, and many stories, many generations in between that time period. Isaiah had an incredible knowledge of God up close. He saw, he was able to see who God was, and he was able to write about those qualities of God. I think Isaiah is a book that, it's a long book, it's the fifth longest book in the Bible. You can read it quickly and kind of catch the overall tenor of it, and you can read it very slowly and see many deep things about the character and the nature of God. The first theme that I want to talk about this morning is the everlasting nature of God. The everlasting nature of God. The eternal nature of God. Chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." I've read these verses many times and other verses in the Bible about the eternal God, but when I read this chapter and I read this verse, it got my attention and grabbed my heart. Do you not know? Do you not have within you a sense that there is a creator that was long before you and will be here long after we're gone from this life? Do we not know that we live in the middle period of something much bigger, of eternity, of a God who is everlasting? Get a grip on the eternal nature of God, and it will help you to see what He wants for your life. Think about the everlasting nature of God with me this morning. He is not like us in so many ways. He is above us and beyond us and different than us. He is unchanging. He somehow is the same yesterday, today, and forever, yet listens to His children when we speak to Him. He is somehow able to be unchanging but affected by us. Unchanging, but affected by us. He's affected by sin. His heart is broken with sin. Somehow this God who is other, somehow can be everlasting and eternal and unchanging, but yet impacted by us. And this amazing, eternal God loves us.
Maybe I just need to have a good cough. If I have a good one, then maybe I'll straighten out. I'm too excited to stop. All right, no more.
He is not like us, so getting this idea down that God is other than how we think, how we feel, how we perceive. He always was. Eternity past is hard for me to even get any concept of. Eternity future is different. That one, a concept. But what does it mean that God always was? What does that say to you about who you are? He brought this world, this creation, this what we know and we see and we feel and we perceive, He brought it into existence. In fact, He spoke it into existence. The stars. Where did they come from? How many of them are there? How big is a star? How far away? God created them. I read two or three weeks ago, and I don't remember where. I don't remember whether it was in a devotional or online when I was studying a little bit, but I read this little story. I'll summarize it. Okay, one more. I read that scientists of different fields, probably Christians, they may have been Jewish actually, were trying to estimate how many stars there were again. That happens constantly. They just keep adding zeros to the number. But they did come to this conclusion. They took a gallon of sand and they counted the grains in a gallon of sand. I don't remember how many there were. Imagine. Many of you have been to the beach this summer. They took a gallon of sand and they measured how many grains. Somebody counted them somehow. And then they calculated the width of the average beaches on each continent, added in some islands, how deep and how wide until you get down to the bedrock, something like this. They calculated based on a gallon of sand how many grains of sand are on Earth. I wouldn't begin to try to give you that number today. But you think about that. The number of grains of sand. And then they said, their research has shown that there's far more stars in the sky than grains of sand on Earth. It just didn't pop out of nothingness other than a creator who is everlasting, who created the heavens and the earth. In fact, you look in the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, you have the everlasting presence of God. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a nature of God that blows me away. All through the Bible, stories about the everlasting nature of God. Evidences. And you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you open up chapter 21 and 22. You have again the statement about the everlasting nature of God. Revelation chapter 2, the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Here God expresses the identity of the Son. I am the beginning. I am the end. And Jesus said there, I am with you always. Wow. What kind of a God is that? He is an everlasting God. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy that we would bow down. In every book of the Bible, God is described as everlasting, powerful, eternal, other. Long time ago, I came across the picture or the understanding of how to understand God by a theologian, a German theologian named Graham Otto. I don't quote theologians very often because I usually don't understand them. But he wrote about the otherness of God. How there is nothing we can compare in this life to God. When we try to, then we cloud somehow the identity of an everlasting God who is all powerful and all creative. Psalm chapter 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The everlasting nature of God is one of the deep themes of the book of Isaiah to me. And there are many others. The second nature of God that I want to talk about this morning is the holiness of God. Again, other, set apart, not to be casually treated, not to be expressed as, "Oh yes, I love God," without a deeper sense of who God is and the nature of God. So many people wear Christian clothing and crosses and wristbands and things that make a great claim. And there's nothing wrong with them. But the question is, do you see God for who He really is? And is that the God that you're attached to? Is that the God that you worship? Is that the God that you say you profess? Is that the God that you go to with issues in your life for His help and His perspective, His everlasting, eternal perspective? Holy, other, majestic, awesome, overpowering, energy. Think of your words and put them in there. How do you describe this other God? Urgency. Order. Vitality. Purpose. Fearfulness. Attractiveness. The otherness of God, the everlasting God, the eternal God, the holy God. The nature of God is wholly other. Isaiah had that vision. Isaiah saw and heard. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphim with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." Isaiah could see and sense and feel the otherness of God, the glory of God, the power of God, and his reaction. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Recognition in Isaiah's spirit and his heart that he was so other than the holiness of God. Unclean before a holy God. God saw his attitude. God saw his humility. God saw that Isaiah understood and saw him for who he was. "And so then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs of the altar, from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from, and your sin atoned for.'" King Uzziah. Isaiah had this vision during the last days of this king of Israel. He saw the Lord. One thing that I pray is that God would help us to see the Lord. I don't mean see some fictitious or some story about God, or even some description of God, but that we will see God. We'll see Him as He reveals Himself to us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Woe to me, He says, I am a man of unclean lips. When you see God, you will be humbled in your spirit. When you really see God, the pride, the ego, the I want my way, nobody better mess with me or tell me what to do. When you see God, it all becomes real clear. It did for this great prophet Isaiah, as far as we know, was a good and a godly man. I don't know. But he could see how unclean he was until the seraphim sent from God flew to me, he said in verse 6, with a live coal in his hand. The live coal in his hand. The purifying power of a God who is holy. He's able to see and to touch. And he touched Isaiah. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. When we see God for who He is in His holiness, we come into His presence. And our hearts are bowed before Him. He will send His seraphim to us with a live coal. And He will touch us. Thank God for that. Isaiah gives us a picture of the cleansing of God. His guilt was taken away. His sin was atoned for. And then God could use him. What's the response to the cleansing, truly cleansing power of God in your life? Verse 8 says, would you go to that 15th slide, please? I think it's 15th. Yes. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah did, here am I, send me. See, the sending was preceded by the cleansing. The serving came after the purifying. The effective ministry of Isaiah and his prophecies came after he encountered a holy God. Then he could say, here I am, Lord. Send me. What about you today? And the need for the coal of God's Spirit in your life. Do you need to come before God today and say, woe is me before a holy God. I am unclean. God already knows that. He knew that about Isaiah. When Isaiah humbled himself before God, he came to him and he touched him and he changed him and he helped him. And God can help us too. God can help us to to see his purity, his wholesomeness, his health, his cleansing, his favor. Would you stand with me as we pray? One more slide, please, Hannah. I want to invite us this morning to pray quietly. If you want to come to the altar, you're welcome to do that. If you want to pray right where you're at today, you're welcome to do that. But I want to encourage you and I want to invite you to say, God, help me to see you for who you really are. And help me to see me for who I really am. And let the Holy God impact the lips, the life, the needs. That's what God wants. He wants to touch us. He wanted to touch Isaiah. Deep book, deep story. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your power. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, God, that you come to us and you show yourself, your holiness, your presence, your everlasting nature, your eternal Spirit today, God. I pray that we would not laugh at God, either outside or even inside. For I realize that, God, sometimes the decision of faith is that internal place where we choose and we decide who we are and what we believe and what we're going to respond to God's Spirit. I pray, God, that we would see you for who you are. For you are other. You are higher. You are deeper. You are eternal. You are in control. God, help us to see you today. I pray, God, that we'd have the heart and reaction of Isaiah to say, woe to me, and allow you to send your hot live coals to our lives that only you can touch and you can change. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Help us to respond, God, to you as you call us to, I pray. In Jesus' name.